Okay, thank you. And Terry?
Yeah, I wanted to speak both ways. yeah, there's no real problem having Secretary Pro Tem as long as you specify that the Secretary Pro Tem continues in office between meetings, so that if there's any committee business that needs the attention of a secretary when you don't have a permanent one, the Pro Tem is authorized to act in that stead. An individual can be a candidate for both offices, and if they're elected to both, they can accept or decline either. But it is possible that knowing someone is willing to serve as secretary, it could hurt their chances of being elected chair. So in that sense, it might be a good idea to wait.
Okay.
Point of information. Go ahead, please. I would like to know where in the bylaws it says that we have to conduct this this election both not transparently and via the mail. I contest that that is not correct. And furthermore, to support my point of information, I would like to suggest that in Robert's Rules of Order, it says that when meetings are conducted in the manner of telephone meetings, it suggests a whole series of special rules be adopted. Since there have not been any, I think we have the freedom to do things according to the very first clause in Roberts, which is that you do things in the most efficient and practical way properly that is possible.
Okay,
that's my point of information.
The point of information, all right. I'm actually going to go to Terry with a question, Terry, because I think you know the bylaws better than I, and Ted knows them better, and so on. If I'm not mistaken, the bylaws trump Roberts if the bylaws have something in them specifically. And is there a requirement that this be done by secret ballot?
I'll have an answer shortly.
Ted, do you happen to know, is there a requirement that these votes be by secret ballot?
I don't think that's why I asked the question, Mr.
Yep.
Chair. I would like to make a motion that we postpone consideration of this matter until Terry has a chance to do what he's doing and we go on to the next item on the agenda.
Is there any objection to that coming back to this agenda item?
Well, I'm going to have to, Mary Berg here, a point of personal privilege. Since I'm going to have to leave the call in 10 minutes, it doesn't seem that we're even going to get any of this protocol business resolved, so I wouldn't even be present for the nominations for secretary at this rate. So,
And how many more minutes do you have for this call?
I have about 10, and that's it. I have to be on the other call. I have to.
Yeah, I wish I had. I actually don't have the bylaws here. For some reason, I thought these had to be by secret ballot. It has been stated
for 2 years, and it has been the policy and practice of the board, for better or for worse, to do this, because it has been insisted upon on all the telephonic calls that I have listened to or been a part of, that this is how it's done. So I don't know why I don't know.
Mr. Chair?
Can we go ahead with at least the setting of the nominations for the secretary? And if it gets postponed, okay, that will come after. But at least I might participate in that part. That's
point of order.
All right. Very good. Let me entertain the point of order.
Mr. Chair, I've already made a motion.
Yes, that's
postponed,
right.
So you cannot then go ahead with the nominations without considering the motion.
No, but what we're having difficulty with is clarity as to whether or not your motion is consistent with the bylaws.
Mr. Chair, I would suggest that the point of information offered by Member Weisgall was actually a parliamentary inquiry, and I think we're waiting on the answer to that question.
That's true.
And I move to postpone consideration, and we move on to the next item until Terry has something, and we'll come back to it at that point.
All right. I'm going to ask the body to...
I have an answer.
Go ahead, Terry.
Okay. This, first of all, Article 15, Section 1 of the bylaws say, unless otherwise expressly provided in these bylaws, all elections by the members, delegates, directors, and LSBs sh- shall be conducted by the single transferable voting method where there is more than one seat or position to be filled, and by the instant runoff voting method where there is only one seat or position to be filled. So on its face, that requires ballots. And then in on page 427 of the rules, starting with line 20, it says, if the bylaws require the election of officers to be by ballot, and there is only one nominee for an office, the ballot must nevertheless be taken for that office unless the bylaws provide for an exception in such a case. In the absence of the latter provision, members still have the right on the ballot to cast write-in votes for other eligible persons. So the intention in requiring that ballots be collected even when there is only one nominee is that members have a right to write in someone who is not a nominee.
Okay, the chair is going to rule that the motion is out of order. We have three nominees for chair, and I'm going to open nominations for secretary.
Mr. Chair, which motion is out of order?
The motion, I believe there was a motion.
The motion, it was...
to postpone.
No, it was the motion to that Ken had that say that we don't have to have write-in ballots.
Yeah, that's right.
No, that wasn't Ted's motion. That was
Ted's
motion,
I bet.
Okay, so you're moving that one out of order, but there's still a motion on the floor to postpone the election of the secretary, which is not out of order.
All right.
Can I say something here? For the sake of, practicality and, since we're going to have secretaries or temporary secretaries that can do the job anyways, why don't we just vote to approve that motion, postpone the election of a permanent secretary. We have a temporary secretary who's going to do the job, and we can move on in this meeting so that we can be more effective.
Okay, let me put this before the body. We have Mary and Ted who are acting as temporary secretaries. If those two would be willing to continue in that role until the next meeting, then I will we can somewhat informally not deal with secretary tonight and then move to a process for voting on the permanent chair. Is there any objection to that? All right, hearing no objections.
Before Mary Berg here again.
Yes, go ahead.
Personal privilege, so I can say this. I will, if I would glad to volunteer to send out the ballots, as I'm very familiar with doing that, and have the addresses for people. And as we're doing it jointly, we have to say which of us is going to do it, and I am offering to do that.
Is there any objection to Mary sending out those ballots? Hearing none?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, please.
Well, I want to throw this out in more in the form of a question, and I'm reading Roberts, but I am wondering if it is possible for ballots to be conducted in a different way, and that is for each person to vote orally and for it to be recorded by the secretary on a ballot that is then a part of the record and is done both transparently and not done in the manner where each person physically touches the ballot, but we have a record of who voted and what they voted for to expedite this whole process.
Point of order, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Mary.
Ballots, even in a face-to-face personal meeting, ballots for officers are done by written ballot, and we don't know who does that, and that has never been the practice. It also leads to a great deal. I don't want to begin such a practice. It leads to a lot of disharmony. Elections of officers of any kind have never been so that you see who has voted.
There was
one time that I know of before our present bylaws, and it caused a terrible problem back on our LAB, and we never did it again. But all the board meetings, they never do that. It's secret ballot.
I
don't see why we should suddenly make an exception, and I would be opposed to it.
Yeah.
Ken Freeland, I'd like to speak to that, please.
Well, all right, Ken. I would like to resolve this very quickly now so that we can move ahead. Go ahead, Ken.
Once when I was present at a KPFA LSB meeting, I watched an instant runoff election being conducted using only the blackboard. So So I believe that Member Weisskopf has a point here, that there are different ways. And I think if we listen carefully to the language that was read to us by Member Goodman, that it says if ballots are required. It doesn't say ballots are always required. If ballots were always required, that would be a silly statement. So, in fact, there are probably elections where ballots are required, but it's actually only a process that is being required by the bylaws here. The process is instant runoff in this case. It's not that it has to be done by ballot.
Okay. You know what? I would like very much, if we can do this, to resolve this. So I'm going to ask for the group to make the decision.
Yeah.
One
point of
option.
Order.
Go ahead, please.
The group can't make the decision because it's determined in the bylaws.
The group is interpreting the bylaws. That's the group's responsibility.
Only the PMB has authority to interpret the bylaws.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to rule.
The PMB.
Yeah, I'm going to rule, and then people can appeal the decision of the chair. I'm going to rule that, from my knowledge as chair at this moment, the secret ballot sent out where the option for write-in candidates is allowed is the process that the committee will use. And therefore, I will designate Mary Berg to send out those ballots, and we'll set a time for them to be returned, and Mary, opening those in the presence of other witnesses and so on, will declare the vote. That's my ruling. Now, if there's anyone who wants to challenge the ruling of the chair, this would be the appropriate time to do it.
Mr. Chair, we're past time.
Okay, well,
I move that we extend time for 2 minutes so that we can go on.
Okay, any objection to a two-minute extension? Hearing none. That is the ruling of the chair, and anyone who would like to appeal that, if there is no appeal to the ruling of the chair, then these three candidates, Don White, Bertolt Reimers, and Ted Weisskopf, will appear on a ballot. We will not try to nominate or process the secretary tonight, but that will be at the next meeting. Hearing no objection to the ruling of the chair, shall we try to set now a date when...
We do need to do that.
Yeah, a date when all... and then are you going to post to the entire committee your postal address? You can do that by email, can't you?
Who are you speaking to? Me?
You.
Yes, I will. And then these have been mailed out, so if I don't have anyone, I think I have all the mail addresses, but if not, why don't you all send me in an email your mailing address? Let's do that.
Very well.
Point of order, or
move
point
of
information?
To do that, and I will give you my email address.
Point of information?
Okay, before I go to the point of information, everyone is clear, and I will take responsibility to remind you, and also there are about six people who are not on the call, and they need to also be informed of how this process is going to work. All right, your point of information?
Why can't the ballots be emailed out to save time, as Teresa Allen did with the recent PNB election?
I could speak to that. They were mailed except in the case, because there is no anonymity. If people want anonymity, they have to foreclose it to do email. Teresa Allen allowed email after she consulted whether it would be okay in two cases, one where the person was traveling.
No, that's not my question. No,
well, that's
you're not
how
understanding
it happened.
My question. Because my
question
is, why can't the ballots be sent out? But you know, I know that they have
they
to
are,
be returned by postal mail.
They can be
mail.
Sent out by email.
Well, that's okay.
How,
now, that's
what
I'm asking, because I heard you say you were going to send them up by postal mail. No problem.
No,
okay.
I'm sorry. I'm not clear here.
No, the return would be.
No problem.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, great.
Okay.
So
I believe
my
that.
My email I can give. I don't care if it goes out on the air. Google has a lot of room. Okay.
Well, you're going to send it. That'll give your
I'm
point of order.
I'm going to give you all my email address so that you can be sure to send me.
You need to give us your postal address so we can return.
Oh, my postal address.
Yeah, give us in the email.
Well, that'll be on there.
That's right. That's
okay.
Right. Okay.
That'll be there. Okay. can we set the next meeting? Can I just move that item before I have to go, as we've taken up all the time procedurally here?
Okay. We actually have now gone, our agenda item on nominations is over, and
word.
The next item. A point of order, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, I have no objection to extending the courtesy to Mary Berg and going to the next agenda item. However, we hadn't decided on the process for the election in the sense that I believe each candidate should be given the opportunity here to make a statement about why he wishes to be elected as the chair of this committee. So I would request that we return to this item after going to the next item as a courtesy to Mary Berg.
Is there any objection to that?
Next meeting is going to be.
Yeah, no, he's saying that we do the next meeting. Yeah, okay.
Now 2 minutes left.
2 minutes.
I'm over time.
Okay, now, veterans of this committee, do you have a formula for meeting? I picked this at random, but
we met once a month.
Once a month.
Mark Hernandez?
This time works for me fine.
Mark Hernandez is on the call.
Okay.
So,
from where? From where?
From KPF, from KPFA.
What was that? I missed that. What did you
say? Mark Hernandez from KPFA.
Oh, yes, good.
The call.
Okay, Mark, welcome.
Okay.
Welcome.
I'm going to have to go, so I hope
okay.
to set a meeting sometime. I could meet at this time the following Thursday, I mean, in a month from now.
Okay.
I cannot.
Okay, there are some.
The worst night of the month for me.
I can meet at 4 o'clock. That would be a better time because it doesn't conflict with other things, or earlier is better for me, and I'm going to have to go.
Okay.
Point of information, Mary.
Thank you, Mary.
Yes?
Mary, any other Thursday night but this one being the second Thursday of the month, this one is hell for me. Is there any other Thursday night that's good for you?
As far as I know, Thursday, I don't have a problem with Thursdays at this time. If it gets later, I will have.
Okay,
yep.
Thank you.
And it's a call.
All right, thank you very much. Now, members of the committee.
And other days are okay, too, pretty well. I can do, I can normally do Wednesdays at 4 o'clock just as well.
We have board meetings in Houston. Wednesdays don't work.
I could do Monday
okay.
at 4
o'clock. Okay.
Okay.
Talking
now,
about
goodbye.
Yes,
goodbye.
Virtual, go ahead.
Okay, can I? Would it be good for me to move that our next meeting be on Thursday, May the 18th, at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, where I am at, which is what time is it for you guys over there when it started?
4.
At 4 p.m. Eastern Time, and then we meet there, for, and then we meet again.
4 p.m.
That's 4 p.m. Pacific time.
Yes.
4 p.m. Pacific, 7 Eastern.
And then we meet again on June the 15th, Thursday again, at the same time.
Now, let me ask, Bertold, is that the third Thursday of the month?
Thursday, yeah. It's third Thursday.
Those are both the third Thursday of the month, right?
And this is the second. And this is the second Thursday, correct? Correct.
Yeah, and that's not good for some. The second is not good. So if these, I don't have my calendar in front of me. I should get it out right.
These
it's right here. So May 18th is the third Thursday. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
The PNB Governance Committee has already claimed the third Thursday.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Governance has the third Thursday.
How about the fourth?
What date is that?
25th.
Any objection to the 25th of May? It seems like there's something happening that day, but it's all right. Okay, Thursday, May 25th, and then what's the next Thursday
Wait,
in June
is that a
after
decision?
The 15th?
Wait, Mr. Chair.
Yes, go
Point
ahead.
Point of information. Have we decided on... as a secretary and as a member, I'd like to know if we agreed by consensus to have our next meeting on that date.
No, we haven't, because these are only proposals. We're going to have to vote. These are proposals. As I understood it, he was making a proposal.
Yeah, that we May the 25th and June the 22nd. Let's set those two dates, and then after that, I'll send an email adding every fourth Thursday of the month and, you know, for the next year, for the next 7 months, and then let's see if we can work that out by email, and then after that we can come and vote on them.
Yeah, I think it's a great plan.
Okay. So May 25th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time and 4 p.m. Western Time, and June the 22nd.
22nd.
Same time. And by within that time, you know, we'll by email propose, like Don White did last time, propose, I'll make a list of all those Thursdays, every fourth Thursday from those dates on, and then we'll see if we can vote on them.
Okay, so the proposal is Thursday the 25th of May, June Thursday, June 22nd. Is there any objection to those two dates being accepted by the body at this time? Okay, hearing no objections, at least those two dates are now confirmed by this committee. Okay, now the proposal of a member was to go back and have statements by candidates.
1 minute statements.
1 minute statements. Okay, is there any objection to that? Okay, hearing no objections, we can take them, what, in alphabetical order, shall we? Bertold, 1 minute.
I'm the first one?
Yes, we're doing this alphabetically.
Wow.
With a last name starting with R, you don't have this happen to you too often.
No. Well, I think, basically I'm at BAI, where it seems to me that there has been more questions about procedures and transparency than anywhere else, and I'm very closely related to the events, and just referring to you, Terry Goodman, referring me to the last LA meeting. I do speak to the general managers at WBI on a regular basis about these issues, so I know what's going on. I've also have an executive MBA as far as income statement, balance sheet, and so forth and so on. I am very familiar with these. I've participated with internal auditors auditing HIP, where I was generating close to $40 million a month in expenses. So I'm familiar with money. I'm familiar with auditing. I'm familiar with the process. I'm familiar with issues going on at BAI. And one of the things that might motivate me to chair this committee is my frustration with this whole with Pacifica not taking action, giving too much of a benefit of the doubt in many situations, the PNB being afraid to take action, and if I were to take that role, I would be pushing for actions to be taken and for more accountability and so on. My biggest downfall, I must tell you, is I'm also very disappointed in this whole network and this progressive agenda. And I've lost some interest. I used to dedicate probably 48 hours a day.
You have 5 seconds.
Time. Yeah.
And now I do not, because I'm disappointed in and I almost do not see any hope with this network. So that's my downfall.
Okay, we've got to reinvigorate you. Ted.
Okay. I would like to begin by saying that I am very ignorant of matters related to auditing. What I am very familiar with is the issue of process, and I'm especially familiar with... I am very familiar with process. I am not... And when I'm not familiar, I am willing to admit it and to ask questions, as was the case when I asked a question of Terry Goodman a few moments ago. I do know that in committees of this size, as long as there are less than 13 people on the call, limiting debate, including the comments I'm making right now, are a violation of Robert's Rules of Order. There is a completely different set of rules for committee meetings where full discourse, although it should not be redundant, is appropriate, and the only way to limit debate in committees is by moving the previous question to delay, but you cannot force a vote like is the case right now on people having to vote when they may not fully understand the pros and cons of the various candidates. I think it's absolutely essential that the chair understand how to run a meeting and to expedite the business, but it's not by limiting debate in committees.
Thank you. I'm probably one of the weakest aspects of my life, both in the movement and others, is finances and auditing and so on. And I have I am actually considering withdrawing from this race. We have two other candidates that can carry this, and I'll make a decision tonight on that. I'm very, very busy with other work, both in the LSB and also in the progressive movement, as I think we all are. So I'm glad that we have good nominees, and I will make a decision later tonight about my own participation in this election. Okay, I think this actually ends pretty much that nomination and elections. We have the process and so on. We have, at this point, because Rob Robinson is not here, and the other items on this agenda, brief overview and discussion of the mandate, duties, responsibilities, goals, and so on, I think that has been kind of covered. I need some help from the group. We do need to deal with the review of procedures regarding minutes and access to past minutes and committee documents and how people can bring themselves up to speed. Maybe that is the agenda item we should look at right now. This would be originally agenda item 2, review of procedures regarding minutes, access to past minutes. Is there any objection taking about 6 minutes or 7, 8 minutes or so to deal with that so everyone is brought up to speed?
Since I'm the person who put this on the agenda, I would like to be given the opportunity to briefly speak first.
There's no problem with that. No, there's no problem. If there is no objections to handling this agenda item, I'll recognize you immediately.
Can you identify yourself so that we can know who is speaking?
This is Ted from Houston.
Okay, sorry.
I recognize Ted.
Okay, I have gone to the Pacifica website. I have wasted an extraordinary amount of time. I have gone to kpftx.org with an effort to find the minutes of this committee, and what I have seen is that there were no minutes for August 17th of 05, July 20th, 05, June 15th. Apparently there was a meeting, but it was not streamed, and there are no minutes for that. There was a meeting on the 18th, but no agenda was available, and again, no minutes for March 30th, 05, January 31st, 05. There was a meeting on December 13th of 05. These are all, if you go to Pacifica.org and go to the National Board and then go to the Audit Committee, no minutes. There was a question and answer October the 26th of 04, questions and answers with Auditor Ross Wisdom. So that's the only minutes that I can find where there is Q&A posted. There was in October 21st of 04, there was the election of Teresa Allen as chair, but somewhere along the way, Donna Warren became the chair, but how she got elected is not evident. A slew of the committee minutes and meetings have been postponed, not streamed, not archived. So I have concerns about, if it says on the website that there was a meeting, and it should at least say that the meeting was not held because of lack of a quorum, but the website is very vague. Perhaps there is some other place where the minutes of this committee are supposed to be located, or where they are located, but they should be on the Pacifica.org website.
Okay. Now, can members of the committee help with information on this issue? Who is asking for recognition?
Ken, point of information.
Oh, Ken, yes, go ahead.
Who served as secretary to this committee last year?
It was Terry Goodman, I believe, at one point or once or twice, and then it was R. Paul Martin, who was from WBAI. I will contact him again and ask him for some specific information on this and on the dates where the meetings were canceled or not recorded for lack of a quorum, and we will get back to you on that. I believe that what happened is Teresa Allen removed herself from this committee because she wanted to give someone else a chance to be on the PNB, and therefore, as a PNB representative of the audit committee, she had to recuse herself, and Dan O'Rourke took over, and then there was a vote, there was a process, and I will get in touch with R. Paul Martin, and maybe Terry Goodman wants to talk about that. I know they took both took very good minutes, and we'll resolve that.
Thank you, Berthold.
Okay. Very good. Terry, did you wish to be recognized?
Yes. Thinking back, there was one time when the committee had scheduled a meeting where the screen was not available. I don't recall whether or not we had a meeting on that date. All the other dates where there were scheduled meetings and there is no audio archive available, we failed to meet quorum, which means that there were only four or five meetings of the committee where quorum was met, and all four of the minutes that I'm sure where the committee met with quorum are posted in the file section of the Yahoo group. Currently, no governance members have the ability to post directly to the Pacifica.org website, and we are dependent on the KPFK webmaster for posting minutes that are sent to him. I believe there's a website redesign in progress that may allow direct posting of governance documents by governance members if they have publisher rights or given publisher rights by the webmaster. But currently there is a bottleneck, and you'll notice that not just with the audit committee, but with all committees.
Point of information.
Yes, go ahead.
Well, then my question would be, were the minutes submitted to some webmaster for posting, and then they didn't get posted, or were they not? Didn't they not get that far? That's the question I would have, as far as anybody here knows.
I can post them, but I need them.
Hi there.
Hi. Is that Ben speaking?
No, this is Mark.
Oh, Mark. Oh, okay. Oh, Mark, of course. Well, we're looking at not so much the minutes for this one, but people want to go back.
Right.
Terry, you said that at the Yahoo groups there was a document file of old documents pertaining to finance and audit. I think you said that.
At the Yahoo group, in the file section, there is a subfolder called Draft Minutes, which has the minutes of the October 26th, 2004 meeting, the May 15th, 2005 meeting, the October 21st, 2004 meeting, and the December 13th, 2004 meeting. For most of 2005, this committee did not meet quorum.
I see.
May I speak, Mr. Chair?
Of course. Yes, Ted.
I think we are violating more than just the bylaws, and that concerns me greatly, and these are not transparent. Posting them to a Yahoo group is not transparent, and they are supposed to be transparent to the world.
Yes, that is this. I brought this up only to, I think, more intensify the concern that people should have that this committee has not been available to listener sponsors as well as committee members, partly through lack of quorum, but it sounds like there are other problems.
Point of information, Mr. Chair.
Okay, excuse me, who was speaking?
This is Mark.
Mark, go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
Point of information. The Yahoo groups are able to be sliced and diced as you wish. The files can be made open to the public. They can be locked to the members only. They can be made read-only by the public and upload-only by the members. So it's just a matter of whoever controls the group controls the access rights to the files.
Point of order.
Ken Freeland.
Comment. I'm next after Ken.
Go ahead. I was at the same time as Mark there. I'd like to speak.
Go ahead.
All right. I would like to request that Terry Goodman take the files that are the draft minutes that are in this file and provide them to, if it's Mark that says he's got capability of posting these things on the web, is that correct, Mark?
Yep.
Okay, and send them to Mark for posting, or, you know, send the URL so he can do it himself, and that they be posted on our website. It's true that Yahoo groups can be made transparent, but we have a website, and our bylaws require that they be posted on our website. So it doesn't do any good to have them in the most transparent Yahoo group in the world. They need to be posted on our website for the inspection of our members. And I would request then make a formal motion that that we designate Mark to post them for us from the files in the Yahoo group.
Point of information?
Terry.
Mark, can you publish to the Pacifica.org website?
Not directly. However, I can go through P. Caracas, who owes me a couple.
That sounds good to me. I mean, as long as...
Worst comes to worst, I can post him on my own, send him the link, and just pound him until he sets the link up.
There you go. There you go.
Going from the website.
Okay, I want to ask members of the committee if there is any objection to this proposal by... Was it by Ted or Ken?
Ken.
Ken. By Ken, and is there any objection from Terry or any member of the committee to do this?
No objection at all whatsoever. As a matter of fact, when we finish, I'd like to add something to that.
Okay. Hearing, you want to do this before we confirm this? Let's just confirm.
Yes.
Hearing no objection, then this will be done by Terry, Mark, and whomever is necessary to accomplish this. Okay, the chair recognizes Bertolt.
Okay, yes. This is another matter. Right now, I'm in charge of the Yahoo group, and I did send an invitation to Mark to, you know, if there's no objection, I would like Mark to be the second person in charge of the group so that I can give him rights to the group so that he can help me manage the group. I did receive an email from Mark, but I could not open it, and I never got a chance to get back to you. You know, I would like Mark to also help me in managing this group.
Okay. Do you need the committee to kind of confirm that arrangement?
Yes.
Yeah.
Make sure that nobody's going to say no.
Okay. Is there any objection to the proposal that Bertolt just made regarding Mark's collaboration? Okay, hearing no objection, then the committee confirms that arrangement and allows it to go forward?
It will be done by tomorrow morning.
Good. You know, I have one issue I want to take up with the committee, but let's just look at the agenda. Does this actually fulfill the spirit of this agenda item from Ted on procedures of minutes, access to past minutes, and committee? Does that take care of that agenda item?
Yes, sir, from Ted's perspective.
From Ted's. All right, good. I have one issue I'd like to bring up, and it's not on the agenda, but if you'll just indulge me. You'll recall that this committee made a report to the PNB in Washington, D.C. There were a whole series of items. It goes on, the report goes on, for some period, for some time here, and it includes a series of questions directed to Ross Wisdom. What you don't have is his response, I think. You can download, because the attachments that were sent out for this meeting included its draft report to the PNB. But at the Washington meeting, he went through them one by one. In some cases, he put down one word, okay, corrected. Other times he said, this belongs in the Finance Committee, not in the Audit Committee. And there are several other things on this. So I'm going to be sending out one through, it's one through something like 12. Ross Wisdom's response to Donna Warren's report. I think you'll find it interesting, and in it he also lists his annual fees at about $82,000, and he goes through a lot of things. But I just want you to know, when I send it to you, in order for it to make sense, you're going to have the questions, or I'm sorry, you're going to have the report that is there, and I'll also send that at the same time.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I would like to suggest that all of what you just described be included, even while noted as being duplicate, that it be included in the minutes of this meeting, and that it be posted to the Pacifica website, so that people who are listening to this meeting will have access to it on the website in the future. I hope that that's acceptable without objection.
I think it will be. My feeling is that it's information that ought to be available to listener sponsors, and that there's nothing in here that was in executive session. And so if there's no objection, then I will have to, I don't have this, I only have this in a hard copy right now, so, but I'm going to type it and I'll send it to all members of the committee, and you, being the secretary, will have it by tomorrow evening.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I'm assuming we're also going to file this in the Yahoo group file section.
Right.
That, you know, future people can have access.
I believe so.
Okay.
Okay. Now, there is a section of the agenda called New Business that had 12 minutes. Where are we now? We're at 5:53 on the West Coast. I think if there's no objection, we'll not, unless there is someone who has new business, we'll not take that up that agenda item, and I think it will complete our meeting.
I have a point of information.
Go ahead, please.
Roman numeral 3 at the beginning of this meeting, a brief overview and discussion of the mandate, duties, responsibilities, and goals in this committee. Is the reason for skipping over that because we are going to receive the documents that that basically describe that from the national office, and that will suffice? I hope that is yes.
Yes, I think there's other reasons as well, but that is certainly one reason, and I think whoever the new chair is, they may want to put that on the next agenda in case there are people who are new to this committee who have questions about the mandate of this committee and the role. And also, you know, there are some documents that have been sent out, including financial committees. You know, it was sent out some resources here. Lonnie sent out accounting audits and finance at Pacifica. There are other things. But it was designed to be getting everyone on the same page around the goals and mandates of the committee. And maybe the next chair can follow through with that at the next meeting.
Ken Freeland?
Go ahead, please.
I'd like to request both Terry and Mark stay on the call after adjournment, please.
All right. If they're willing, is there no objection to that, I suppose? And may I just ask, did any of these people join the call late? Lisa Davis, Cheryl Griffin, Mark Roberts, Rob Robinson, or Thomas Ruffin? Those are the absentees from the committee.
I'd like to remind the committee that please read some of the minutes. At one point, there was a motion to remove members who have not attended meetings. It's in the minutes of the May 18, 2005, because we had a problem with attendance. So,
yes.
So that was adopted by this committee, so I would suggest that you read that so that you have an idea of, you know, where we stand. So if that issue comes up, it's not arguable because you've seen it, and if you have any objection, you should bring it up at the next meeting.
One information.
Go ahead, please.
Bert, I would like the chair to direct this question to Bertold. Am I not correct in my assumption that we are a totally new committee and removing members is no longer, it is moot at this point?
I'm not sure. I believe that any motion on procedures that were passed by this committee, these are new members of a committee of an ongoing committee. The audit committee is an ongoing committee. That's a committee that's constantly reviewing, you know, looking for abuses and making sure that policies and procedures are adopted. There are motions that and recommendations made to the PNB for every single new groups to come up and totally revise the policies and procedures would be a total disaster. Imagine if you have the two different opposite group, let's assume, that have a majority on the board and are elected to the PNB or to the PNB Audit Committee, then you have people constantly changing the rules for to serve their purpose.
Okay, you know, I think we'll have to maybe have this as an agenda item at the next meeting, how this committee wants to handle it, whether veteran members are still, you know, being held accountable for past absences. I don't have a clear view of that. Bertold is right. These are continuing committees. New members come on, but the committee continues, and motions they pass in the past are still binding unless reversed by new votes and so on.
Mr. Chair, may I speak for just a moment?
Yes, go ahead, please.
I totally agree with Bertold with regard to the rules and previous actions of the committee and so on and so forth, but it is my understanding that every year, each LSB elects new people to the committee. Some people may continue on for another term, but we have three new people from Houston that are now on this committee.
Right.
And so I think it's moot to worry about expelling members for failure to attend three meetings when this is the first meeting of the new committee.
Okay, and I think what we'll do is rather than try to resolve this tonight, I think it should be an agenda item for the next meeting. Certainly
sure.
no actions are going to be taken against anyone tonight, and we need to review our policies on that. If there's no objection, I will just extend that agenda item to the next meeting and remind the new chair. Go ahead, please.
I'm sorry. Can we discuss those items on the Yahoo group and so that we can be more efficient when we come to the meeting?
Fine.
That's not transparent enough to our listeners and members.
Well, is the Yahoo group transparent? Is it accessible to the public? Is it viewable by the public?
I don't think so.
You can set it that way, you know.
I think we should.
I think we should, too. If we do it that way, then I would have no objection to it if we let people know that we're going to be discussing it there. If we don't, then I'm going to be opposed to it.
Okay, yeah. That sounds good, because I don't think there's anything, you know, secretive about anything we've discussed.
Right.
No.
So maybe at that next meeting, the first motion would be to make the Yahoo group transparent, you know, and...
Point of information.
Go ahead, Terry.
Yeah, if existing archives are going to be made public, you must scan them for the conference call phone number and access code.
That is true. Yeah.
Ken Friel, could you get
public
quickly?
Yeah, sorry, Ken.
My understanding is, I'm pretty familiar with Yahoo groups, you can set the archive of discussions to be publicly transparent. At the same time, you can keep the files restricted to members until such time as you wish to make them transparent. Okay, that's a separate setting. So it shouldn't be a problem to make the discussions transparent. The files can be kept limited access until they're called for confidential information.
Okay.
Let me clarify, the archive is the message archive I was referring to.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I thought you were talking about the files. Okay, sorry.
Okay, now, just so people understand, Lisa Davis contacted the convener, and also Rob Robinson, through another party, reported he was ill. So in this agenda item on policies around attendance, we have to think of whether we're going to have excused absences as opposed to unexplained and unexcused absences as well.
Point of order, Davis and Robinson.
Okay. I'm sorry, what was that?
No, that's to excuse the absences of Lisa Davis and Rob Robinson from this meeting.
Is that a motion?
Yes.
Yes, okay. We don't need a second, I guess, in committee, no. Someone said. Any discussion?
Yes.
Go ahead, please.
I have opposed that and opposed even excused absences even when I was not at a meeting because I think that's been abused. At BAI, there are people who are sick, did not attend for 6 months, and I think the sensible thing to do would have been to resign. Because the idea of attending meeting is to know what's going on and to participate. And so I'm against any form of excused absences. You know, I mean, I do not believe that if you have to miss three absences in a row, it's just not acceptable. You should, honorably remove yourself from the committee unless there are some extraordinary circumstances in which you are working on materials of the committee and where you are totally, fully aware of what's going on. And so there's too many questionable items here, and I think that people abuse the excuse absences and then come to meetings only to vote when there are important votes. And therefore, I'm against excuse absences throughout the network, actually.
I would like to add something to that. This is Ted from Houston.
All right. Go ahead, Ted.
One of the reasons this committee, I agree with everything Berthold said. I would add that one of the reasons this committee failed to meet quorum many times last year, apparently, or in the past, was because people didn't show up, and after three meetings, you should get rid of them so that the quorum becomes a smaller number and it becomes attainable. It's very important. I think we should just get rid of the quorum rule, since what committees can do is only report to the national board, but since that apparent rule is not gotten rid of, we should get rid of members who destroy the ability of the committee to meet. Done.
Okay, thank you. Now, we've had two people who have spoken against the motion to give excused absences to two members. Is there anyone who would like to speak for it? If not, I'd like to go to a vote.
Terry.
Go ahead, Terry.
Yes, I believe there should be notice if there is going to be a policy of not accepting any excuses. And so the motion is for excusing at this meeting when there is no notice. And during the agenda item in our next meeting, we should consider the proposal of Bertel Reimers not to have excuses accepted.
Okay, if there's no objection from members of the committee, I'd like to go to a vote on this motion.
I have to respond to what Terry just said.
Yeah, I would like to respond to what Terry said also.
Okay. All right, no one has called the question, so the debate is still open.
You can't call the question in a committee of 12 people or less, but that point aside, if we find out at our next meeting that there was a good reason why these folks missed, we could always reconsider what we did, and we could excuse their absence. But at this point in time, we shouldn't. I'm done.
All right, anyone else who wants to speak?
Yeah, Ken Freeland.
Go ahead.
I'd just like to respond to Terry's point. I think notice works both ways, and I believe that for somebody to have an absence excused, the very least they need to do is to inform the committee in advance that they're not going to be present, and that doesn't mean getting to the chair through a third party. I don't buy that. So I think that the standards need to be fairly high for an excused absence, and I don't think we're meeting it here. I'm going to hope that we don't set a bad precedent here and go down the slippery slope that Berthold was talking about.
Okay, with no process to close debate, we can go ahead. If anyone else would like to discuss this, hearing no discussion, we can go to a vote. If you vote yes, you're voting to offer the excused absence. If you vote no, you're saying no to the excused absence. Mark Hernandez.
Yes.
Marnie?
Absent.
Oh, Terry?
No, she was here. I'm sorry.
Yes, she was here.
Terry, yes.
Mm-hmm. Harrison?
No.
Let's see. Ken Freeland?
Pass.
And Ted?
No.
Brian?
He told me he had to leave the meeting.
Okay.
Early.
Berthold?
No.
Okay. Ken?
Abstain.
Okay. Is there anyone whose name I did not call who's on the call?
Your own.
Yeah,
I'm
wondering.
I'm on the call, but I don't vote.
Yeah, that's right. You're absolutely right. And I will only vote to break a tie here. So, yes.
Mr. Chair, if that's the case, then you shouldn't have called on me yet after I passed. I should still be passing.
You want to pass?
I want to continue to pass if you're going to continue to vote, if you're going to consider voting.
Okay. Okay. Ken Freeland passes?
Yes, two yes.
Let's see.
Two yeses.
But you're not abstaining, Ken.
Not yet.
Okay. Do you want to vote now?
No, I want you to determine what you're going to do, then I'll vote.
We have three no's and two yeses.
Okay. What is there about my position that's unclear? I'm just perspective.
Can I say something point of order?
All right, Bertol, go ahead, please.
If we have three no's and two yes, we don't need the chair's vote.
The chair can make a tie.
Well, no, actually...
Actually, point of order.
Oh, yeah, but right, the tie
Wait,
won't,
now,
the
just
tie
a moment. You have not voted yet, Ken, right?
Right,
okay.
Right.
And you're not going to vote until I vote. Is that it?
Well, that's my
hope.
You can pass, too. We can play. We can duke it out.
Well, wait a moment. I don't think you understand. I will not vote as chair unless I'm breaking a tie.
Very well. Then I won't vote either.
Chair.
I'll abstain.
I already said that, so.
Okay.
Okay, so let's see.
Point
where are
order,
we?
Point of order, Mr. Chair.
All right, go ahead with your point of order.
Is the chair making his decision based upon Roberts or personal conviction?
Doesn't matter.
Well, maybe it's on tradition here at KPFK. Chairs don't vote unless they're breaking a tie.
The rule does not apply to committee chairs.
Okay, I'll abstain. Do you want to vote? Do you want to vote, Ken?
No, I'll abstain. If you're abstaining, I'm abstaining.
You're abstaining.
Right.
Okay.
Three no's, two yes.
Three no's and two yeses?
Well, the secretary has to tell us, right?
Well, I can. I was doing my job, and that is correct. And abstentions are, you don't even ask for abstentions unless there's a very different situation.
You do want a roll call vote, Ted. You have
I didn't ask for abstentions. The person indicated to me he was abstaining. I didn't ask for them.
I'm just telling you, the vote was to...
No, but I'm just clarifying that I didn't ask for any abstentions.
I understand that.
The remark is not pertinent.
Right. Two in favor, three opposed. So the noes have it.
All right, and the motion fails. Is there any motion to adjourn?
I move to adjourn.
Do we call? We don't need a second for that. Are there objections to adjourning? To adjourning?
No.
I think it was a good meeting.
Hearing
no objections,
nice job,
then
Tom.
We'll adjourn.
Mark and Terry, please stay on the call.
Yeah.
Okay.
And thanks to all of you.
Okay, thank you guys.
You
okay,
bet.
Bye.
Bye.
Good job, Don. Thank you.